coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, April 7th, 2020. I want to welcome everyone to the show today. I got a lot of information to get into. Thank you so very much for your belief and trust in this platform. By the way, I don't have a monitor, just as an FYI. I don't know if you're pumping out Eric the Tech. How are you? Just talk amongst yourselves. I did, actually. How about this? Would that help you? All right. Well, sorry about that. A lot of news to get into. These energy compliant devices. Isn't it interesting how things just kind of turn off on their own? There it is. Thank you very much, Eric the Tech, coming to my rescue. Appreciate it. I lost my pen. All right, folks, the news headlines, of course, dominating everything, which to the exclusion of other important information, the CDC director, coronavirus death toll was going to be much, much lower than projected, interestingly enough. Stephanie Grisham is out as the White House press secretary, going to be returning to chief of staff for the first lady. By the way, there is some state-sponsored anarchy, some chaos, confusion. California's judicial court suspends evictions. Misdemeanor charges, bail, no bail. Very interesting what's taking place in California. The big news, though, or some of the big news relating to the coronavirus or the Communist Chinese Party virus, includes the behavior of Fauci. Now, I call him a garden, though, and Kevin and Matt, thank you so much, Kevin. Did just a tremendous job on a video or an image panel. There he is right there. The garden gnome, Fauci. Why is this important? Because when you start digging into the deep state, start digging into the issues surrounding Fauci, and you start seeing things at the press briefings, and you start looking at the tension that's obvious there, you can kind of tell that things are not right, and there's dueling agendas here. You've got Donald Trump attempting to calm the American people, get life back to normal, understanding, of course, that we're seeing things unprecedented in our history. Are we not? But who's really running the show? Is it the President of the United States who is running the show here in America with respect to getting things normal? Who's running the show? And there seems to be this massive disparity between agendas, the agendas of the medical martial law enthusiasts. I'll call them enthusiasts, medical martial law enthusiasts. Like Fauci, like the deep state Fauci, deep staters like Fauci. Amanda Bricks, Admiral Bricks, okay, Fauci and Bricks, the ties that they have to the Clintons, Bill Gates, big money, big pharma. Citizen journalists, by the way, are doing a fantastic job in exposing all of this. This is stuff you don't hear on CNN. You don't even hear this on Fox News. You see it in the citizen journalist arena. You see it on InfoWars. You see it here. You see it with our guests that come in and talk about this. But rarely, if ever, do you see it in the mainstream media. On a Twitter feed, I was looking at Twitter over the last couple of days and seeing how this investigation of Fauci and others have evolved and the findings of others and then verifying the findings and finding that, that look, there is this deep state connection to the individuals who are shutting down our country. One of the Twitters, in fact, the first one, I believe, Eric the Tech, is pretty interesting. This was a video taken, I believe it was yesterday, during yesterday's news conference. This is Dr. Fauci giving kind of a thumbs up, if you will, or a gesture of approval to a gentleman, to a reporter, more appropriately, gentleman I don't know, who really went at it with President Trump. And at the end of the news briefing, and I'm not sure, to be honest, I'm not sure, Eric the Tech, how I, let me look here, how I gave this to you. All right, it would be the first video, or it would be the first link that I sent to you. This is Anthony Fauci leaving the, this is at the conclusion of the press briefing. This is Fauci gesturing to a reporter who dueled, duked it out with President Trump, and it was pretty nasty in terms of his questions and his approach to President Trump. If we can show the Twitter feed and play the video. Okay. Now, the context of that is important. So, there they are leaving the press conference. That's Fauci giving kind of a nod of approval or a gesture of approval to the reporter who went at it with President Trump. Now, let's take a little bit closer look, and I want to thank the citizen journalists, the citizen reporters who have dug deep into Fauci's background. The second link I sent you, there's some pictures here. I think it may be one or a montage. I'm not sure how this really worked out. And thanks for bearing with me today, folks. Let's put that up on the screen if we can. Take a look at the connections that Fauci has. This is, I don't know who originally did this. This has been tweeted and retweeted. If you look at the top there, you can see the attribution. But there is Anthony Fauci. If you're looking at your screen, he would be at the top left of the screen, standing next to Judy Woodruff. Then you've got Tom Brokaw, George Soros. Need I say more? Annenberg. Lenore Annenberg. Brooke Astor. Are these names ringing any bells? They should, of course. Barbara Walters. David McCullough. These are all individuals. By the way, this is Carnegie Medal of Philanthropy back in 2001. This is the group picture. Now, again, take a look at this. This is the company kept by Anthony Fauci. Does this crowd look like they have our best interests at heart? Does this crowd, of course, speak to the health, and I mean that in all sense of the word, of the United States? I don't think so. George Soros, of course, Tom Brokaw, you get the idea. Annenberg, the Astor family represented here. You see how deep this goes. I'm not sure. Are there other ones there, Eric the Tech? Okay, there's Fauci there in the background behind Obama. This is during that during Obama's tenure, and I believe the context of this photograph is the H1N1 issue back in whenever that was. I'm not certain of the year. And the next one there, if there's another one. Okay, Fauci again with Hillary Clinton. You can see his ties, not his tie, but his ties, his connections, of course, to the deep state. All right, here's another one. This is, again, I don't know, folks, you can certainly research this, but the attribution of this, whoever did this, thank you very much. Take a look at this, because on the upper left, of course, it says, so Dr. Fauci sits on the leadership council of the Gates Foundation. Gates Foundation, Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, need I say more? And there is a hashtag, the more you know, of course. And to the right of that, there's Fauci with Bill Gates, of course, and then Fauci on the top right. And you can go. And then, of course, there is a and I'm not, in this particular instance, until I see more of a behavioral cluster, I'm not going to comment necessarily on the Masonic meanings of this gesture. It could very well be, hey, I've tucked my tie in many times. That could be just that simple, or it could be something more. And, you know, again, going clockwise, and you've got Fauci with other deep state individuals. So there you have it. There may be more. I don't know. Are there? Or I think that might be the end of the images in that one. All right. So there you have Anthony Fauci. And folks, you can look, by the way, the coming out of this, where he gave that, you know, a sign of approval, to the reporter that harassed the president. You can see the context. You can see that for yourself, or maybe I can have that dragged up here and shown, but it was a pretty contentious, exchange. But even more than that, there was another issue with the reporter, and I want to get to this. In fact, the next link that I sent to you, this is an interesting exchange. This has to do with, a Chinese reporter, a reporter from Hong Kong, and how she answers a question, because President Trump asked her, are you, or do you work for China? And she gave a non-denial. She skirted the question, attempted not to answer it. And of course, citizen journalists looking deeper found, yeah, hey, she does work. She works for, a state controlled, a Chinese state controlled, nation controlled outfit. That's the YouTube video, the third in the line there. Eric the Tech. Here it is.
The deal? We'll find
with
out.
China, are you cooperating with China?
Who are you working for, China? You
I
work for China or are you with a newspaper?
Kong,
who are you with?
Hong Kong Phoenix TV.
Who owns that, China?
It's
is it owned by China?
Hong Kong.
No, is it owned by the state?
No, it's not. It's a private-owned company.
Okay, good. Okay. Look, I'll let you know. I'll give you a good answer to that in a few months. I wanted to see what they do. Because it's time for them to help us, okay? It's time right now for China to help us. And hopefully they do. And if they don't, that's okay, too. But we signed a deal. It was signed in with great goodwill and spirit. And it's time that our farmers benefited, our manufacturers benefited, and we'll see whether or not that deal is honored.
And there it is. Thank you for that. Now, the backdrop of, and this does connect to the kind of the Fauci sign of approval as well. If you recall, President Trump has stated that the media, the mainstream media, were enemies of the American people. If you consider how this is an example of how the media will do anything possible to undermine President Trump, the media, as you saw there, were spooning, metaphorically speaking, with the communist Chinese. Now, ABC News chief, the Washington, D.C. news chief, narrative engineer Jonathan Carl is, he's currently rotating head of the White House Correspondents Association, by the way. And the White House Correspondents Association has a customary and traditional role of selecting, deciding which journalists who will participate in the White House daily briefing. It's a rotating schedule of journalists. So just so you know the backdrop of that. All right. So yesterday's White House Correspondents Association designated hitter invited for the Chinese Communist Party into the briefing room to President Trump, to question President Trump, a known propagandist, which you saw on the screen, this female. But President Trump, to his credit, understood and knew who this was and immediately pegged her and asked her directly, do you work for China? Are you working for China? Now, this is laid out in Conservative Treehouse, which a website I often cite. And she answered that. You saw how she answered that. It was kind of an end around, not no, no, but, you know, we're owned by this. Now, the Hong Kong Cayman Islands-based Phoenix Media, just so you know, is actually owned in large part by the Chinese Communist Party and by a former Communist Chinese Party propaganda officer. That's been verified. Now, having said that, and this goes to Conservative Treehouse, the bigger question should be asked of Jonathan Karl. Why did the White House Correspondents Association intentionally invite a Chinese propagandist into the press briefing to ask questions about a crisis the communist Chinese created? That is the context, by the way. That is the context for that Anthony Fauci's, you know, thumbs up kind of gesture or gesture of approval. Good job. Fauci giving Jonathan Karl the good job signal as he was departing that press conference. As a matter of fact, Fauci made sure he was the last to leave that press conference. Job well done, telegraphed. Tweeted at Real Donald Trump, the fake news media, failing New York Times, NBC News, ABC, CBS, CNN, is not my enemy. It is the enemy of the American people, and we're seeing this. Now, against that backdrop, the reason I kind of threw all of this together at the beginning is to give you an idea of, to give really this hour segment, the idea of where things are at and kind of identify the players here, but to give a foundation for the bigger picture. Because, you know, I had the privilege, by the way, of speaking with John Heller, Fellowship Bible Chapel. And he every week he does a prophecy update, and I want to thank John Heller for all he does. But I had the privilege to speak with him this morning, and you know, chaos. It seems chaos. I kind of went through that the top set of headlines, the top level headlines. Oh, by the way, it's 731 dead in New York from this virus. And we were talking, and during the conversation, John Heller said, you know, it's interesting about that ship that aircraft carrier, the naval ship that docked over in near Vietnam, where it was essentially taken out of service because of the coronavirus, the Chinese Communist Party virus, Wuhan virus. The Chinese Communist Party never had to fire a shot. And think about that. The asymmetrical warfare that's going on, unrestricted warfare. How many people have read that book? I truly believe, looking at this, that the objective here is to create the chaos. And speaking of chaos, I just want to touch on this because this is something that I think is important. David Kapelian was a guest on our program some time ago, and he's an author of the book called Snapping of the American Mind. And one of the chapters that he had written in this book, in fact, chapter 4 is chaos theory. And what are we seeing today? And what are we seeing in terms of information dissemination? It's chaos. Oh, we've got a full hospital over here. Well, we have an empty hospital over here. We've got people that are infected here. We've got nobody over here. We've got, you see the geographical differences. That aside, the reporting, how it just appears to be chaos. Well, we have a shortage of ventilators. We have a surplus of ventilators that are going unused. We've got this run on masks. We have no masks. I can tell you this in real-time information. Here in my community, the largest hospital in my community has an entire floor that is sealed off for Communist Chinese Party virus victims or people with the virus. Population, zero. Now, can that change? Today, zero. As of today, as of this morning, no one was there. There were no patients there. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean anything? No, that's just merely a data point, because can that change? That could change within the hour. That could change tomorrow. Is that reflective of what's going on in New York City? No. So we have to accept and understand the geographical disparities. However, those aside, the chaos theory reigns. And Cloward Piven comes into play. And this is where David Kapelian had written about the chaos theory. And I just want to cite from this book, because I think it's so – I think he wrote this, 2 years ago. Again, the snapping in the American mind. But what he wrote here, and folks, listen to this. For millions of Americans beholding the chaos enveloping their country during the age of Obama, one of the biggest unanswered questions is whether Obama, and I'm paraphrasing, has been destroying the nation intentionally or destroying it out of incompetence and mind-numbing ideological blindness. Do you notice how the script has been flipped onto President Trump? 45th president of the United States, but I digress. And that's done intentionally by the enemy of the people, which would be the media. Alex Jones said something I'm going to play here momentarily. And it has to do with journalists. It has to do with these people who call themselves journalists. And they're the enemy of the people, but it's even more serious than that. Just keep that thought in the back of your mind. But getting back to David Kapelian, when you take a look at Obama's track record as president, and I say that loosely because I'm not even sure he was allowed, you know, eligible for that office given his natural born citizenship issue. But having said that, Obama has effectively eliminated America's borders. We saw that happen during the 8 years of his occupancy. How many millions of illegal aliens, illegal criminals came across into the United States? They were granted, unconstitutionally granted, by way of executive fiat, de facto amnesty. Now, think about that. And think about, too, President Trump, when he came and says, look, we have to stop flights from China. Initially, the left went crazy. When he did stop flights from China, there was part of the media said it wasn't quick enough, but the major thrust of the talking points of the narrative of the media was, you can't do that. That's pretty racist. That's pretty xenophobic. That was at least initially. But with respect to the chaos theory, and this is what we're seeing, and this is, I believe, why we're seeing such a problem right now. You had Obama set the stage for a perpetually stagnant economy. An astounding 92 million Americans no longer in the workforce during his period of tenure. And 20% of households dependent upon government food stamps. President Trump came in. Look at the numbers. And I'm not talking about the artificial numbers, but I'm talking about the real numbers. So look at the numbers, and you could see by the economy alone that the reelection of President Trump, hey, having failed having been victorious over the fake Russian narrative, the collusion, And having survived the surveillance, having survived the harassment from the intelligence community, and then finally having survived and prevailed over impeachment, the removal part of impeachment by way of the trial. Now he's dealt a serious blow. The American people have been dealt a serious blow with respect to the virus. But what's it doing to the economy? Now, the virus is not decimating the economy. It is the response to the virus that's decimating, that is damaging the economy. And I mentioned John Haller earlier in his last, I think it was last Sunday, or maybe it was during one of his midweek updates. He was talking about the Cheesecake Factory. Never in the history of commerce have you seen a major retailer like the Cheesecake Factory filing a Form 8K saying, which is when you're a public corporation, you file documents whenever there is a material change to your operation and economic status, significant change. Well, the Cheesecake Factory filed this Form 8K saying, we're not going to pay rent beginning April 1st. We're not going to pay rent. We furloughed 41,000 employees at all of our locations. We're not going to honor the lease and pay the rent. That was based on Form 8K, one of the biggest retail eating establishments here in the United States. How many more? I mean, that's significant by itself, but how many more will result? And what does that do, of course, to the economic numbers? What does that do to the economy in general? Remember, you had Obama going after the healthcare, nationalizing or attempting to nationalize the healthcare industry, taking over 20% of our nation's economy. President Trump attempting to reverse that and having been successful at reversing a lot of Obama's policies, including many portions of the healthcare. So, okay, what happened? Now, it was almost a gift to be a gift by or a gift to the globalists. The pandemic that we're seeing. But it's just not the pandemic. It's the reaction, the response to the pandemic. And because we are a constitutional republic, the states have a certain, the states have freedom to do what they will do. Look at what California is doing. Look at what New York is doing. So in its entirety, in the entirety here, we can see these United States operating individually pursuant to their leadership, the ideological drivers of the leadership of the governors of each state. Engaged in certain behaviors that have consequences to our national economy. But more importantly, they've got consequences directly to President Trump. So you've got the left. What I'm trying to say is you've got the left attempting to do a number of things with this pandemic or with this communist Chinese virus. It's kind of like a gift that every time you turn it over, it's got something new and exciting for you. For the globalists, that is. On one side, you've got this gift of trashing the economy. On this other side, you've got this gift of eugenics. Well, what do you mean by eugenics? Or what do you mean by that? Well, wait a second. Is this virus able to target, or does it target more than usual, more than the flu or more than any other virus, the elderly, the infirmed? Remember, to create this Übermensch, it's a question you have to ask based on numbers, scientific information. So what I'm telling you is that this is it almost in the timing as well. Think about the timing of this pandemic. Think about where we were in December. And again, John Haller makes a great point in his last Sunday sermon about this. Think about where we were in December versus where we are today. And he said it, and I'm going to tell you right now, America is not going to be the same. The annotations AC and BC. BC is before coronavirus. AC is after coronavirus. But America is not going to be the same. The world is not going to be the same. But perhaps, and I'm going with this as my working hypothesis, that was the intent. But when you look back at what Obama had done, And I think that this is important because remember, the idea was 8 years of Obama, 8 years of Hillary, or four and perhaps another four, or 8 years of the same ideological driving agenda. But that didn't happen. But what was Obama doing? And how was the stage set for what we're seeing today? And Obama intentionally, through epic deceit, ravaged the most admired and advanced healthcare system in the world, causing millions of Americans to lose their health coverage, premium prices to skyrocket, and many doctors to quit their profession in frustration. So this, looking back at the 8 years of Barry Satoro, was this setting the stage for what we're seeing now? And ask yourself this. Was this Communist Chinese Party virus, was this the weapon that was used to take out the United States? Much like that ship, that naval nuclear carrier, without firing a shot, they took out that, they took that ship out of commission. This virus did. Who's to say the Communist Chinese Party didn't send by way of Vietnam or other, I don't know, some carrier into that naval asset? Who knows? But you see the theme of this. So what Obama started with respect to the healthcare, the destruction of our healthcare, Hillary was to finish, but that didn't happen. Donald Trump got in, reversed many of the policies. And at the same time, looking at the bigger picture from a wider angle view, at the same time, even things out trade-wise with China. No longer through the tariff and trade agreements, no longer would we be held necessarily hostage by China in terms of the trade and tariffs. So that was changing, or that did change, and was in the process of changing until this. But back to Obama, when you look at what Obama did, the foundation that Obama laid, the contempt for the Constitution of the United States he swore to uphold, exploiting the fearsome apparatus of the federal government from the IRS to the Justice Department to reward cronies and to punish critics and political opponents. He weaponized the Justice Department. He weaponized all of the government agencies. And Donald Trump, of course, was both a victim to that, but also the repairer of that to some extent. Now, we haven't seen people jailed yet for those crimes or indicted yet for those crimes, or we haven't seen any of that by way of the Barr Department of Justice. Will we? I don't know. I have my doubts. We're 209 days away from an election. I think perhaps we'll see some low-level arrests, some token arrests, but indictments or charges or whatever from the Spygate. Remember, this virus, the coverage, the media coverage of this has covered up a lot of information about what we were talking about back in September, October, November. Things, the FISA abuses, the abuses by the intelligence community, and so on. Now, this is front and center. But again, during Obama's reign, his occupancy, don't forget, Obama, he did by refusing to leave a minimal stay behind force in Iraq, urged by every military expert. What happened there was he enabled this barbaric and rapidly growing terrorist army known as ISIS to grow. Now, what was one of the big headlines that has long since been forgotten about Donald Trump? His assault on ISIS. Remember before? All things COVID, it was, hey, we're cleaning this up and we're cleaning that up, okay? Now things have changed. But there it is. And he gets into Cloward in Cloud Piven Strategy 2.0. And this, I guess, I'll wrap it up by saying this. The once an obscure insider expression for the process of intentionally overloading and crashing a hated system or program to accomplish a hidden political goal. Today, Cloward Piven is seemingly on everyone's lips. Governors, congressmen, senators, as well as pundits and analysts and you name it. The politically aware among us. They've all described the nonstop crises, the nonstop scandals, the nonstop assaults that make up the very warp and weft of the Obama regime as the Cloward Piven strategy at work. Now, crashing the system, that's the Cloward Piven strategy, crashing the system by overloading the system. Just for some background, because it's often cited, Richard Andrew Cloward and Francis Fox Piven, they were Columbia University sociologists. They published back in 1966 a left-wing publication, in a left-wing publication, The Nation. And this I'm citing from Snapping of the American Mind by David Kapelian. Their plan to collapse New York City's welfare system by intentionally overloading the system with applicants. And I'll stop there. You can research Cloward and Piven. But that's just kind of a slow roll in introduction into Cloward Piven. But what are we seeing today, especially with the healthcare system? What are we hearing from the mainstream media reporters about the healthcare system left to Donald Trump by the Obama regime? The stockpile that once existed is no longer. Don't forget, Obama used masks and respiratory masks and other medical equipment from the stockpile after various events during his time in the Oval Office, but never replaced those. Never refilled the stockpile, giving way to this Cloward Piven. Ushering in Cloward Piven. I mean, by virtue of that alone, it's ripe for Cloward Piven. All right. So given all of that, just so you know, like I said, going back to the, now to real time here, by the way, it's a good book. The Snapping of the American Mind by, David Kapelian. It's a good book. But so kind of pulling back into the present. So you saw what we saw here, what we've been seeing is this Bill Gates, Fauci, BRICS approach to the fighting, to managing this pandemic. Now, you might disagree with the description of a pandemic. You might disagree with that, but that's what it's being described as. Okay. What you saw and what we've been seeing is this big pharma deep state approach to the pandemic. And you can go back to the, hydroxychloroquine, ZPAC, argument, if you will. Remember, Donald Trump came out and said, this looks promising. This hydroxychloroquine looks promising as a promising drug. It was zinc in a ZPAC. It looks like it's effective treatment. And right away, the media jumped on President Trump and said, you can't say that. The big pharma doctors, you can't say that. It's off label. You can't say that. Even Alex Jones, InfoWars, having repeated that, Google his app was taken off of Google for merely saying just that. Now the entire script has flipped. Oh, it's good. Before hydroxychloroquine, the ZPAC and the zinc, of course, not good. You know, Orange Man bad. He mentioned this. Now it's good. You have governors. You have the media all doing a 180 degree turn on this. So you can see, I guess, for what I'm looking or what I'm trying to present here is the chaos that is introduced by the media, the chaos that is introduced by the individuals at the state level, whether it's the governors or whether it's the big pharma, people like Bill Gates, Fauci, BRICS, their own ideologically driven agendas. They seem to be all going in one direction, and that's to advance the so-called deep state, the permanent bureaucracy, the permanent authority. And I say so-called because some people choose not to use that term. They think that term is you know, a little bit, it's more, well, regardless, it is the deep state objective. So, where are we at today? Where does that leave us today? What are we looking at? I guarantee you, if you ask five people their opinions of where we will be, you know, or where we're at, you're going to get five different answers. But probably to the person, you're going to, they will admit, if they are being intellectually honest, that something is not adding up with all of this. Again, that's not to say this virus, this Chinese Communist Party virus, that's not to say it's a hoax. It's very real and it's very dangerous. It is the response to this that could be not just dangerous, but fatal. All right. I'm going to play, if you don't mind. Alex Jones had done a special program. I've tried to isolate parts of this for the purpose of this broadcast. Let's go ahead and play, if you don't mind, just as a foundation for this next part. Alex Jones, the video from the first transmission I sent. Go ahead and play this. Yeah, the first one. I'm sorry, Eric. Eric the tech. I confused the heck out of him today. So, anyway.
Anybody that tells you that you can stay locked up and you can control things like this is a liar. Now, I'm not saying if you want to social distance, you shouldn't. I'm not saying if you want to stay in your home, you shouldn't. I'm pointing out the whole thing has been contrived from the beginning and organized, choreographed, orchestrated, and they admit they are. And now Bill Gates funds Fauci, and Fauci and all the rest of them are on TV saying, we're not going to let you out and stop these restrictions till we have the vaccine, till we have the apps ready to roll out, which they already have, and the vaccine, but that'll be next year to make you beg for it. And that you can never live the same until no one's dying of this virus or other viruses. Well, this is rule by terror. This is rule by virus. This is a biological dictatorship of the medical tyranny. Everything that we predicted, because they were preparing this, they were gearing this up. This is their move. Economists usually aren't unanimous on something, but I've done a wide survey of economists. There's several articles just up today with leading economists on Infowars.com saying that if the shutdown continues into late April, early May, that it will cause a Great Depression. And if you notice, the blue cities, the Democrat-controlled areas, the authoritarian nations like Communist China and the European Union system are all saying they want to shut down for 6 months to a year and a half, but China isn't. They know full well this will wreck the economy, wreck generations of savings, and devastate the medical system in this country. You think you've seen death so far. You wait till we're in a real Great Depression and this complex society breaks down. Back in the 1920s and 30s, more than half the population was self-sufficient. 90% lived in rural areas. Now those numbers are more than reversed, with about 10% living in rural areas, about half of them somewhat self-sufficient. So 5% of the population self-sufficient. Now, I know I've hammered this over and over again, but we've been made dependent with over 80% of our drugs made in communist China, most of our computer components made in China. And now the globalists are showing us that you think you're going to escape our system. You think you're going to win a trade deal. You think you're going to stop the decline of America and the shutdown of your industry that they had set up by one-sided trade deals over 50 years? No. We will show you, by monkey see, monkey do, authoritarian states set the precedent of total shutdown. And we'll show you numbers of dead comparable to what the flu kills in those nations each year. But we will personalize every single death of these people and hype it up like they do school shootings. And we will absolutely have big corporations shut down to trigger the decline of the economy. Then once it implodes and once nationalism and populism and capitalism is discredited, the globalists will just turn the money machines back on. They'll buy up the entire global market that they all got out of in December and January. Over 200 major CEOs, okay, over 100 billionaires dumping.
Remember the news. Remember the news about the CEOs getting out of quitting, resigning, you know, taking their stock options and hitting the bricks. Remember the news back in December? What did they know? Early January, what did they know? It's something when you have CEOs, heads of major corporations that resign or take leave en masse and take their money and run. What did they know? What did they know at that point? I'm asking the question. Now, you're seeing one of the largest shutdowns, unprecedented at any time in American history. And we are all trying to make sense of this, aren't we? You and I, we're trying to make sense of this. Everyone is trying to make sense of this. Now, remember Steve Bannon, White House advisor, Steve Bannon. He's got a podcast. And what does Steve Bannon have to say about how to handle this pandemic, this Wuhan Chinese Communist Party virus? Well, Steve Bannon appeared on Fox News, and he kind of gave an overview, a thumbnail sketch of how he would handle things. Now, listen to this. Shut down all travel. Forced federal shutdown of all ports of entry, allowing only commerce. It gets better or worse depending on your outlook. Initiate forced quarantine zones around major metropolitan areas, keeping people from leaving. A forced shutdown of all vehicle travel on interstates, except supply chain transports. A federally enforced closing of states to cross border traffic. Does that sound good to you? What comes next? The blue helmets? That's my question. What about civil liberties? What about the Constitution that exists in our country? That might work for North Korea. That might work for China. But in the United States, remember, always keep this in the front and center. The globalists are after you and I. They want us dead. There's just no two ways about it. We are useless. And if we are outspoken, we're not just useless. We are a threat to their agenda. So, I guess you can complete that sentence. But do you see what I'm saying here? Look at, not now. Again, pull back even further and look at the chaos. Look at, by the way, that theory of, well, we can do it this way, or we should do it this way. I wonder why Steve Bannon is no longer with the White House. Just asking. Okay. Now, that was just a small segment. That was the opening segment, an opening minute or so of Alex Jones. I think that might have been from Sunday or Monday. I'm not sure. But regardless, it's relevant. Now, is he, the reason I bring this up is because they recognize the threat to civil liberties. They recognize where we're at today and where we will be 6 months from now. One of the questions I asked John Haller is, you know, what's this going to look like in 6 months given the current trajectory? And just so people know, the Great Depression from, you know, the Great Depression, that you hear about or you read about in history books, making sure you read about it in history books, the Great Depression. How many people did that kill? Have you seen, by the way, the images from South Florida on Twitter of mile plus long traffic to food banks? On Twitter, it's all over Twitter. The photographs of these mile-long lines for food banks, for people to get food that need food. I should do something next time you see that picture. I'm not sure if I put it up on my Twitter or not. It's out there. You can find it. I want you to do something next time you take a look at that picture. Look at the cars. Look at the types of cars. Consider the years of those cars. Oh, they're not, 15, 20-year-old cars. No. No, the majority of them look like leased vehicles. 2017, 2018, 2020 cars. That's what's to come, not just here, or not just in South Florida, but that's what's to come, given the current trajectory here in America. Now, in closing, because I want to wrap this up, Alex Jones also said some things in a separate broadcast, which I believe I've isolated pretty well. I want you to think a little bit bigger. And again, I turned to him because he said it earlier, and I'm kind of repeating it and reinforcing his observations. Watch and listen to what he's got to say in this segment. Go ahead.
Explain something here. I don't like picking fights with the globalist chief science officer, Bill Gates. The guy is super dangerous, super smart, super dedicated. And you could argue that if people put up with this, because what I'm telling you is on record, and you don't do anything, you deserve it. But I'm letting Bill Gates and the globalists know something. You're not stopping me going out in public and living and having jobs and taking your damn forced inoculation when I knew that forced Gardasil you did to the girls in Mexico was going to attack their ovaries from the studies, and it does, and it's a sterile. And Bill Gates will be like, well, we got too many people. Mexico's doubling every 20 years. That's what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen, is sterilization. So when you see these big liberal philanthropists out there and you see the left buying into it, Hispanic Americans, Black Americans, whites, you name it, don't you know that real eugenicists, those are the folks that created the Nazis? The Nazis were just an offshoot, a bad son. A bad son's, a little baby tree under a big tree that's part of the same tree. That created all that on record. And imagine how crazy it is knowing all this information that this is the big enchilada. This is everything. I got a couple calls today by super famous people, and I'm not bragging. I'm saying super famous people. I mean, just you name it. Rock stars, movie stars, huge national talk show hosts. Going, well, I thought you were wrong, but you really are right. And I'm like, okay, great. We'll do something about it. Oh, I'm afraid to. So it means nothing to me until those people do something. And I told them. I said to one of them, I said, I don't really want to talk to you until you just come on this show. Or until you come out and do something. Because trying to hold on to what you got is going to lose everything. America had everything because we would fight and we weren't pushed around. You look at America now on average. And we're soft, and we're lazy, and we're stupid, and we're evil.
Okay,
and if you'll put up with 62 million aborts.
Pause it right there for a second. Yeah, just keep the place because it's important. What he just said, after 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoro, after 8 years of, think of the Clinton, Bush, Obama dynasties. What are we seeing now? Where have we been adequately softened to this point? Yes, we have. Has this been incidental, an incidental softening? No, this has been a deliberate softening. Think back to 2001 And this is kind of how I want to wrap this up, because I bring guests in. I bring guests in like Dr. Paul Cottrell, who is he's saying, look, we have to watch for this BioPatriot Act, because after 2001, 9/11 of 01, we saw the Patriot Act initiated. Now, what are we going to see? This BioPatriot Act, ID 2020. Yes, I've been getting your emails. I understand. ID 2020. If you don't know what that is, we referenced it, I think, with Paul McGuire, with Paul Cottrell and others. This is their, I won't say their final push. This is their first push of the fourth quarter of their takeover. The globalists, the deep state, members of the deep state. Now, that's, I want to comment on that there. Okay. Continue, if you don't mind, continue with that clip, because what he says next is really important. Go ahead.
You'll do anything. We'll go to Patrick Halley, who writes for Epic Times, who is amazing. That's the best newspaper in the world. And they're just incredible. And of course, also another great site that Papert heads up, and that is nationalfile.com and the great work they're doing. And he's done a big story breaking down the fact that Fauci and others that you see up there on that stage every night have big money ties to Bill Gates. Fauci got $100 million in just one grant from Bill Gates. So I want to explain something. Bill Gates is running the show. And his wife in Germany 6 years ago got up in a speech and said, the people claiming we're sterilizing people with the vaccines, you're going to get people killed. And she goes on to say, maybe even yourselves. That was a transcript. It's a threat. And believe me, I know who's financing the lawsuits. I know who's after us. My God, again, Bill Gates, if you don't know, like The Good Doctor and all these shows are paid for by him where they attack me. They say it's meant to attack me. He finances documentaries where they name me. He's behind it all because he knows I'm on his ass.
All right. Pause right there again. Financing the lawsuits. Isn't that an interesting turn of phrase? Financing the lawsuits against me. Meaning Alex Jones saying that. What did I say a couple of years ago that was going to become a weaponized version of censorship? By private interest or by interest connected to, people like, Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Global Initiative, the Clinton Foundation. It'd be lawfare. What is happening today? The very same tactic that was used during the 8 years of Obama is now amplified and being used even more aggressively by members connected with, associated with these former governmental or non-governmental entities. In other words, what I'm telling you is it's only getting worse. The censorship, the attempt to shut down the truth in this time of deception, in this time of chaos, to get to the truth, look, let me tell you something. Lawsuits are flying out there. And there are people who... there's one site in particular who posts legal papers from Pacer as if it was a spectator sport, taking some sort of perverse, in my view, enjoyment of the censorship of the, or attempted censorship, or the progression of censorship of the truth tellers. And yes, we pay the price. People like Steve Quayle and myself paid the price by way of legal, I mean, just today. Write the check. Because people want to shut down our voices. Look at what Alex Jones has gone through in terms of the litigation, the lawsuits. And you could say, well, yeah, but he said this or that. No. Dig deeper. The weaponization is there. It's present. So the chaos, the infrastructure to bring chaos so you, the listener and viewer, cannot get a clear picture on what's going on is, man, it is going, if I could talk freely, and I can't, I would tell you how just how bad it's going, how aggressive this is. We are fighting for our very lives, and I mean that. We're fighting for our lives. And it should serve as an alert, not necessarily a warning, but an alert to every one of you out there who are attempting to get the truth out by way of your own channels, by way of your own social media presence, or whatever venue, platform you have, that you could be next. I am trying to ring the bell to alert you that, look, this is on the horizon. The larger your voice, the more your voice is amplified, the bigger you are as a target. But what we're seeing right now, in closing, I opened up with Fauci, with the, you know, hey, good job kind of thing, as he was exiting that press conference, I believe it was yesterday, to that reporter. You see the deep state ties of Fauci and BRICS and so on, Gates. But we're left even today with what in the hell's going on? What's going on? Can you explain what's going on? Only if you look at the bigger picture, because we are given little morsels, little pieces of the mosaic, and expected to create a larger image. You can't do that. You've got to look at the bigger picture. All of these, in my view, are pieces to a larger global crime by a criminal enterprise known as the deep state. And I think a big part of this release of this virus, I think it had to be done, and it had to be done at this point in time. Why? Because Donald Trump, the United States, we were getting stronger. We were making, we as a nation were saying, look, hey, China, you know, we can't put up with the trade, taxes, tariff situation as it stands. We have to make changes. We have to strengthen our own economy. We have to get jobs here in America. We have to become more self-sufficient. We cannot accept 80% of our pharmaceuticals being made in China, 95% of our antibiotics. We can't accept open borders. Everything that the deep state has pushed through the chaos, as I mentioned in the book by David Kapelian, the Cloward-Piven strategy, among others, has been or is in the process of being negated. What could stop that? What could possibly stop that? And at the same time, get American people fearful enough, given the soft condition that we're in, fearful enough or on board with the globalist agenda, a made-to-order pandemic. And that, my friends, is what I think is happening and taking place. Oh, and concurrently, the stand-down orders, be spectators, enjoy the show. That, to me, is a tactic that adds to, I can say exacerbate, but maybe that's too pejorative. But that fans the flames of spectatorship. Like Alex Jones said in that clip, you heard, I'm not interested in what you got to say until you put your face on the show. I'm not interested in what you've got to say until you take a stand. Don't tell me not to stand up. Don't tell me not to take a stand. Don't tell me to sit down and enjoy the show. Don't tell me that things are happening and then don't show me. But that's what's happening. And a lot of people have fallen for that. Because if it's not, look, if we don't do something, it's not going to get done. If things are to get done, it's up to us. We must do it. We must continually expose these people. We must speak out, and we must never stop. And we must meet every challenge, every piece of resistance head on, and not be spectators. and understand that every step of the way we are being played. That, my friends, is what I think is going on. The chaos is intentional. The enemies are embedded. The weaponization of all aspects of government, deep state entrenched government, are in full force. The allies of the globalists are out in full force. And chaos rules the day. That's intentional. And until we can get through that fog of war and identify what's really going on, grab a hold of it, because right now it's just pretty amorphous. And there are little telltale signs here and there, and again, all little mosaic pieces for a larger picture. But in my view, we've got to look at the bigger picture and understand that these people want us dead. Eugenics, genocide even. Georgia Guidestones, Deagle Report, ID 2020, even 5G to some extent, the weaponization of 5G, the potential weaponization of 5G. All of these things are connected. You cannot look at any one of these issues and allow it to stand alone. It's kind of like, again, and I'm going to close with this. I've consulted on a number of complex crime scenes. You walk in and it takes your breath away. Whew. What am I looking at? What happened? And let me tell you something. It's just not one fingerprint. It's not one palm print. It's not one blood droplet or one blood spatter. It's not one busted door, broken window, open cabinet. It's a totality of evidence. It's a totality of all of that. You have to look at the bigger picture. Take a step back. Take a breath. Take a step back and take a look. And that's what's happening. And that's why the confusion reigns. And we must see it for what it is, the big picture. All right, with that, Eric the Tech, do I go to a break or no? I'm sorry. You could have yelled in my ear. Stan Dale from standale.com every Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan. I love Stan. I tell you what, I love him as a brother. Stan Holly Dale do a tremendous job for the American people, for the world, actually. Folks, go to Stan Dale. Standale.com. Do me a favor. Support them on Patreon. They always have great intellectual, advancements on Patreon. Presentations on Patreon. EMP Shield. Dare to Prepare from Holly Dale. I was looking at their website. Hey folks, get it while you can. If you're looking at your screen, there's Stan Dale. There's the Patreon for Stan Dale. Become a supporter of Stan and Holly Dale. They're creating a Focused World News site plus videos and images based on their research, based on Stan's research, Garden of Eden, and so on. Stan, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. I was wondering whether you were going to be here this week.
As opposed to?
Well, being sick or something, you know, everybody seems to be catching it. Not us here, but I mean.
No, I'll tell you what. I'm fine. I'm sheltering in place. I'm hunkered down. I'm wearing my bio mask. I got my. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Everything's fine. But I trust you. You said you're doing well.
Oh yeah, I was joking with Holly the other day. I said, "Boy, wouldn't it be causing a scene if we were to put on some of our biohazard suits we've got here, and walk into Walmart or something, kind of going." I am your father, you know. I don't think it'd work. But anyway, they'd probably arrest us for pulling that. But you're tempting to do that.
I'll tell you what. Let me know when you do, and I'll make sure you have a camera crew there and videotape that. That'd be kind of fun. I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? It's been a week. It's been a week, and we've seen some changes here in the last week, obviously. I was the first hour, and I apologize for encroaching on your time. The first hour, I was talking about the chaos that reigns, the it seems like you ask five different people what's going on, you get five different answers. It seems like you can't get any straight information anywhere. Some people will say, well, hey, my hospital is empty here in my county. The major hospital that takes care of our county, I mean, it's the biggest hospital around. There's an entire floor dedicated to virus patients. It's empty. But you go to New York and it's a whole different story. You go to elsewhere. So that adds to the confusion as well. You know, people saying, well, this is overblown. It's a hoax. And I agree that there's a lot of hype by the media unnecessarily, but we've got a problem with this virus, but nonetheless, I don't know. Chaos, I guess, is the point I was trying to make.
So it is. It is. And I did hear your last part on that subject about the globalist and the long-term plan. And, you know, what was it back in 1978 when I wrote The Cosmic Conspiracy? I listed various critical curves that would be put upon the people of Earth, not just America, but the people of Earth, which would force them to demand a global government. And I did stress at the time and after that, that these curves would be accentuated beyond what their real threat is in the media, so that people could be brought together into this world government in time to prevent or to mitigate these various crisis curves like pandemics, nuclear war threat, famines, et cetera, et cetera. And we're there. I don't know that I would say that we did, you know, the United States had anything to do with the virus, but still someone did. And to me, it was a softening up to bring the world to the brink of World War III with China and Russia breathing down America's throat. Again, one of those crisis curves forcing the population of the planet to want to be in the control of a global government and perhaps a dictator, but not calling him that.
You know, I often think about your statements that you made and that you've talked about here. And I'm kind of waiting for that moment when there is this collective call, like you referenced, for, hey, somebody help us out here. Somebody step up to the plate. And it looks like Bill Gates is kind of attempting to apply for that job and help us out here. And lead us into a non-chaotic situation. That's what I'm seeing. And I often think about you when I see that.
You know, I wonder whether any human being, known to be human, could be given that position by the people of Earth and be trusted by them, because Gates is part of they, the wealthy class, you know, the rulers. It can't be, you know, a Chinese person, an Indian person, a Russian. It has to be someone with no political or cultural or religious affiliations to anything known on the earth. Now, to me, that means that this leader of the New World Order is going to have to be something special, someone special. And I don't know that any existing person, even the ones I've suggested, like Mohammed bin Salman and the interior minister of Turkey, Soylu, derivative of Solomon. These people are humans with track records, and I don't think the population of everyone on the planet would accept a single guy representing a single group of people or nation or religious state. That's my opinion. I don't know how you would take an existing human and turn him into that, but, you know, that's what I feel.
Good points, all of them. Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think some of the people, the carnal walking, you know, flesh human beings walking the earth, I think people, well, for example, Bill Gates, for some reason, given my research, look, I think he'll have a role to play in the ascension of the person you reference, in the ascension of that Antichrist figure, if you will, that head of the global network, the global slavery network, I suppose. But that's kind of what I'm looking at. I'm looking at these, like Bill Gates, like I said, you know, he seems to have all the answers. Of course, you know, eugenics and vaccines are his forte, so that would fit right into the ideology.
Well, like Gates and like and other people that are movers and shakers on the planet, they have established corporations and infrastructure to manufacture drugs or to make computers or to handle your communications. I know that's why MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, bought into the blockchain shares to handle international gold and monetary transfers between countries. He wanted to be part of that new global money. Whether Bill Gates will be in charge of it, whether Mohammed bin Salman will be in charge of it, or whether, you know, person X will be, I don't know. But that's definitely where the world is being directed right now. You know, there's no question about it in my mind anyway. We're getting ready for the global crises, that's plural, to come to a head in the press, in the fake news, and, you know, convince people to follow down that pathway being led to destruction.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, indeed. And that, folks, that's why, too, do yourself a favor. If you haven't done so already, a wealth of information can be found at standale.com. That's standale.com. But a wealth of information could also be found in There to Prepare. Holly wrote a great, just a fabulous resource for all of us. I know my wife and I have been, it's always within reach, There to Prepare. Garden Gold, Eric the Tech was looking for a copy here. Garden Gold too. You still, is that, you have Garden Gold in stock, Stan? Cause I know that there's,
we do. It's an ebook. You can download it, which a lot of people are doing at the moment. It's, I think $15 and you can just download it from our shopping cart. Okay. It takes a couple of minutes for me to get over there and release the lock on it since it's an electronic book. But other than that, it'll download a file with the frost free zones or the frost zones by map of all the states in the country. And then the, it's a several hundred page book with a lot of big color pictures. That's why it's not printed, about how to set up your garden and to take care of your plants. I mean, from soil mixtures to worms, all kinds of stuff. You know, it's a very detailed book. We're following it ourselves, believe it or not. Right now we're sprouting seeds and raising small plants now, seedlings to get ready to put them in the garden. Mm. We've got watermelons and squash and, lettuce and cabbage, peppers, and you know, it's going to be a full garden out there. We've got lots of potatoes and Jerusalem artichokes and an orchard. Mind you, we've been preparing like this for years and testing out various things, how to treat the insects that bother your plants, how to keep the birds and rodents out of your food, out of your garden. It takes a while, and it's certainly not like some have suggested that you just put a seed in the ground and water it, and that's all you got to do. There's a lot more to it than that.
Well, I got to tell you, I watch religiously watch Green Acres, and I understand that you just don't throw a seed. I'm kidding, but no, Garden Gold, by the way, it's a great asset, folks, as well as Dare to Prepare. Cosmic Conspiracy, which Stan mentioned, as well, giving some background to where we're at today. And of course, standale.com, his, you're and Holly, your Patreon, membership. I would urge everyone to contribute and to become a part of that as well.
Doug, I thought of something over the weekend, for my patrons or patrons, of the Patreon channel. I'm looking at doing a Zoom conference, and I just saw an article over the weekend about China hacking some of the videos. Have you read that on Zoom?
Yeah, I did. And I talked to Eric about this too. He's pretty knowledgeable about this. You go ahead. Was there a question?
I'm trying to set up the Zoom conference for my patients. Right. And, I was wondering whether I should do it or not, if it's going to be a risk to them, or to us, to our computers, to use Zoom. That was my question.
It's not a privacy issue. It comes down to when the meeting's created, an ID is created for the room, and it's a 10-number ID. And if it's not, if you don't set up a password with that ID, which a lot of people don't know how to do, but it's very simple, there were people just typing in random numbers for fun to try and get into these meetings. So if you had that meeting ID, you could access that meeting and do whatever you wanted there. But if you add a password to it, they can't get into it.
So I would send that password and that meeting ID to my patrons that I want to come join the meeting?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I may talk to you guys again about that off air, but it's my first go at it, so I'm certainly going to make some mistakes. I want to make as few as possible.
And I'll tell you what, Eric's really good at that. So we've never had a problem. We've never, how Eric manages the backside, the stuff that we don't see, you know, we've never had a problem with that. So now I would imagine if, you know, if the NSA or not the NSA, but if, you know, some, I'm sure there are bigger targets out there with secrets than, you know, than ours. So, but we've
had a third of this. A third of the staff of Zoom is Chinese overseas, and that's kind of, I thought, whoops.
Yes, yeah. But then again, look at the other platforms as well. It seems like everything's infiltrated by foreign nationals, which, you know, I don't even know what to say to that, except we kind of screwed the pooch on that one ourselves as a nation. But I don't know. But yeah, I'll tell you what, I think it'd be great. We have a good time with the meetings with people who show up, and we've never had an issue. We've never had a security breach that we know of. And would we know of it? No, maybe not, but certainly, nothing untoward, you know, on the backside of things. So anyway, there you have it.
All right. Okay. Oh, along that line here, I was looking at show images. Slide 54, if you click on that, just the picture part of it, it'll take you over to a picture that I pulled off the New York Times. But the text underneath that, if you click on that, it'll take you to the actual site. But it's an animated thing. And you can, now, if you go, if you press on the actual, text down there, you can push the go button up there in that little slide bar, and it'll show you where the coronavirus hit, you know, the deaths, and it does it day by day going up to April the 6th, you know, to yesterday, or today actually, it'd be now if you do it on that site, and it shows you where it hit first, you know, like in Washington, and then the acceleration curves, and it definitely shows that the eastern side of the United States got pummeled, and particularly in the New York area, obviously. I mean, the death curve is like 4,700 or something like that. If you're on the site now, are you on the site, Eric? If you are, just punch the little arrow on the left of the death total up there. I can't quite see it on my screen, but does it show it or not?
Let's see here. The site's up. The map of the U.S.
Well, right. Well, normally, right underneath that where it says 10,930 total deaths, right under that, there's supposed to be a little slide bar that allows you to animate that. Let me just check and see what happened there. Maybe they took it down.
There it is right there. There you go.
Yeah. How did you get to there? Is that off the main page? Yeah, there you go.
You clicked on the map.
Oh, you click on it, and then you go to the action part. Right, yeah. Sorry, I put to the main page. But you can see how it spread there, which was, you know, quite interesting to me anyway, to watch where the infections hit early and killed the most. And it's a good time to live in Wyoming and Montana and South Dakota and North Dakota, New Mexico, all those places. In Utah, they seem to be pretty sparse as far as death cases and hits, exposures as well. Confirmed cases. Yeah, well, I think this is one of the times that the New Englanders and the West Coasters would say they'd rather be in the flyover country than flying over it.
Right. I mean, more of this is, this looks to me like population density. I mean, that and, yeah. I'd even go with transportation hubs, if you will. But
well, yeah. I mean, look at, you know, California, then you've got the L.A. airport, San Francisco.
Yeah,
and then Detroit. Well, I don't know this. I don't know whether that's transportation so much, but certainly New York and that area there. Everybody in the world comes in and out of the United States, either there or in Los Angeles. And so you can expect, you know, high infection rates. However, they do say that they're starting to go down. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I don't know either. I do know that I don't know, as a country, I don't know how long we can survive as a country in this state of animation, this animated state or this inanimate state. I don't know. I'm very concerned about this. And I think maybe that this might have been an objective, if not an exploit of the situation. I don't know. But, man.
Well, yeah. All right. Now, I found something on the Internet, which I'm sure people have already looked at. But in slides 46 through 48, I was looking at some portable ultraviolet sanitizing wands that will kill virus and bacteria as well. We used to use ultraviolet light like this down on the farm in Australia. And instead of having like chemicals that we put in our water to kill any nasties in there, we ran it through a tube that was about 18 inches long, which had an ultraviolet lamp in it. And we just by running the water by there at the speed the water ran past in the ultraviolet, it killed the bacteria and viruses or anything like that that was in our water tanks coming into the house. So I do know that this ultraviolet stuff works. It's not a hoax. I have not used any of these products I show there, but there's portable ones, and there's ones for sanitizing your toilet seat and your sinks and, you know, keyboards, anything. They're little portable thing you put batteries in. And, you know, then you just wave them over the potentially infected area at a close enough distance. Now, the one at 47, I think, might be by Hamlick or Schlemmer or whatever they call them. They're very expensive. They want $150 for that. But I've seen them at $80, and I've seen them down as low as $50. So I'd chop around to get your ultraviolet wand and don't get scalped. But this is a very good substitute for hand sanitizer or for, you know, Lysol, that kind of stuff. You can't get it. If you get one of these wands, just roll it over your hands, clothes and stuff, and you're done. I mean, just don't touch it, but just get close and shine it on it. Just thought that might help some.
Wow. Do we need to know how that works? I mean,
The ultraviolet wavelengths will kill it. It's absorbed by the smaller bacteria and viruses and things, and that wavelength just kills them. In some cases, it just sterilizes them so they can't reproduce, but it does stop the spread of it.
Interesting.
And having used it before, I'm telling you, on our water system, it worked like a champ. It really did. I mean, we had birds that landed on our farmhouse and, you know, their stuff washed down into our rain tanks. And so we had things to worry about there if we didn't sterilize our water. But this ultraviolet light did, you know, piece of cake, wow. Piece of cake.
So there you have it, folks. You don't have to go out for Purell and other wipes. You can, okay. So as long as that light, the effectiveness of the light does not diminish over time, or does it? I guess I'm not even sure what question to ask.
No.
Okay.
No, it's good as long as it's putting that ultraviolet. You don't want to look into it, you know, but shield your eyes like the dentist does when he's sealing the caps on your teeth or whatever with that blue light, protect your eyes, wear your sunglasses or yellow tinted glasses, whatever, but, you know, and don't look straight into the ultraviolet light. It's not good for your eyes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
over long periods of time, it can make cataracts. And that's what we warn people about outside with the sun.
Sure.
These ultraviolet spectrals. And on that note, slide 51, we have the largest ozone layer that we've ever recorded over the North Pole area, the Arctic event, the Arctic Pole there. And that lets through a lot of other radiation. Fortunately, the pole doesn't face straight at the sun, and we don't live under that pole ourselves anyway. Some people do, but not many. And that huge opening is allowing this ultraviolet penetration. Now, what will that do to marine life in the area, to microbes and stuff? I don't know. It's certainly bound to have an effect on the ecosystem up there temporarily anyway. This is another thing that shows you that, you know, ultraviolet can be your friend, it can be your enemy. In this case, because our magnetic field has been weakening rapidly over the last 20 years, we're getting to a point where the magnetic field that protects us by generating the ionosphere and stuff that shield us from certain ultraviolet and cosmic, deep space radiation and gamma rays, that shield is weakening. And the hole in the ozone layer shows us that it is certainly weakening rapidly. And this is huge stuff. I've lived, under an ozone hole in Western Australia, probably 35 years ago or so. And it does hurt. You can feel it going through your clothing and jeans. It's like pins and needles sticking in your skin. That's with clothes on. So you can imagine what it does without. Anyway, this is just another thing that might help us if we have a thinning of the atmosphere over a little bit. This ultraviolet radiation can sterilize, and slow the spread of coronavirus or whatever virus is floating around at the time. We've taken some of our things we get from the grocery store, although we haven't been there for a while, but we'd put them out onto the deck behind the house and let them get direct sunlight and let them be sterilized with the ultraviolet from the sunlight. Just these are little tricks you can use. We would take them out there and take them out of their plastic bags from the store, throw the plastic bags in the trash, wearing gloves, mind you, and then display the contents of the plastic bags on the picnic table out there, and then go turn them over occasionally and, leave them out there for a few hours to just be totally sterilized by the sunlight. All these are little tricks you can use to reduce the likelihood of being exposed to that virus before it eventually dies out. And I do think it will. It might be periodic and come back next season, but by that time we should have ways to treat it with immunity systems and with medicines if you do get it, like vaccines or whatever. We just needed the time to do it, and I hope we do get it and aren't thrust into a war with China and/or Russia, because they do have a joint pact against us. That's yeah. My cheery news.
Well, and. I heard, and I'm trying to verify this, and I'm not even sure if it can be verified at this early stage of the analysis of the virus, but it's kind of like, it would be like an STD, and I'm not referring to the HIV delivery system, I'm referring to the reoccurrence. In other words, or malaria, for example, once you get it, you always have it. It remains dormant. It kind of hangs back, and then, once your immune system becomes compromised or, whatever precipitating event, it comes back. That's what I've been hearing, or that's what I heard about this virus, where it remains dormant. You get it, you've got the virus in your system, and then who knows, 5-10 years later, it could come back again, kind of much like herpes or malaria, that kind of thing. Have you heard that?
Well, I had heard that once you've had it and weathered through it, your immune system has fought it, that you, if you get exposed to it the next season, let's say, again, that it could weaken the heart muscle and you have a heart attack. But now, is that in all cases or just in certain cases? I don't know. This is, as they've been telling everybody, a rather strange, a novel type virus with novel characteristics. Look, you live until you die. And if you spend all your worry on that single thing, you're just going to zero in somewhere and sit in the corner and not do anything. We're hoping we don't get it here. Holly says we won't. That's her positive attitude. And my attitude is, well, look, the good Lord is taking care of us and looking after us. And if it's our time to go, I just hope it's quick. In the meantime, we prepare like everyone else and try not to infect anyone else and, to use our resources wisely.
I like that attitude. I believe that God's got this, and God knows each one of us individually and intimately. And you're right. I think if it's our time to go, I think it's our time to go, whether it be by a virus or by a bullet or by a, fast moving bus. That's my view anyway. God has got this. Unless, of course, you're exercising free will and you decide to jump off of the Empire State Building, that kind of thing. I mean, you're not invincible, but given free will and the proper exercising of free will that, that God's got us covered. That with prayer. And of course, I think, you know, look, I believe in prayer. I believe in good nutrition, solid, you know, building up your immune system. I believe in all of that. So, you know, and you're right, Stan. It's not, as Christians, as believers, we are not to succumb to this fear. It's, you know,
absolutely.
We're not to live in fear. And that's one of the things that, and I've noticed that's one of the things living in fear that the, people in charge of the globalists want to keep us in that state of fear to usher in this state of compliance and acquiescence to whatever their agendas might be. That's just my view.
And you know, like our dependence on them, you know, and their systems and their medicines and whatever else. It's just, as you say, another method of driving us under the thumb, you know, their thumb.
So,
couldn't agree more. I'm just trying to make a change here to my web page because I put up a thing I want to talk about, and the darn link didn't work for some reason or other. And just give me a second here.
No worries.
And hopefully that does it there, and this does it here. About the Air Force Academy and the superintendent there. Had a rather interesting challenge that he had to deal with this coronavirus thing, because they had like 3,000, you know, cadets there. And the graduating class this year won't have all the fanfare and stuff and audience and all that kind of stuff in Falcon Stadium because of the spacing distance rule. But the three classes, first class is going to be handling it. They already have been doing it. They have organized places for the remaining 2,000 or so cadets to go off base to various places around the country to finish their studies remotely, you know, like remote schools. And when you're in a military academy, it's not just study. It's calisthenics every day. It's intramural sports. You know, it's hands-on things in the laboratory there in the high-speed wind tunnel and stuff like that. You can't do that remotely. But this general, you know, he did his best to prepare this, and it's never hit a commandant of the academy before. I think I've got this fixed here. Let me just see if it goes into that site now. Okay. Oh, you miserable thing. Oh, well. All right. Well, anyway, you can see the article by just looking up Air Force Academy's top general fighting the coronavirus fight. A subject close to my heart because having been a cadet there and still visiting occasionally to the wind tunnels and various other things.
I clicked on that. Yeah, you had that on panel 49 or image 49, but as you said, that doesn't. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't know why. I really don't know why. But anyway, that's something we'll check on later. Maybe slide 50 will work better, hopefully. Yes. Will Colorado Springs be home to Starfleet Academy someday? Isn't this cool, Starfleet Academy? You know, in my opinion, and being Air Force and everything, I should be prejudiced toward Air Force, but Annapolis could also be, you know, Starfleet Academy. Both of them are heavily involved in space research, and the Navy does a lot of deep sea, you know, ventures and training, and even living under the water. And so, to my mind, they are more qualified in actual hands-on experience in foreign environments like that, where pressure, you know, and oxygen, those kind of things are used, and they've trained with it so that their staff, you know, the Argonauts or whatever, you know, the Navy people that go deep sea missions, they're probably going to be more acclimatized to space voyages. It might take several months to Mars or something. And in the beginning, even the naval pilots, you know, that were landing under pretty severe conditions when they try to land on the deck of a carrier, had my vote. Now, Air Force, you know, jet jockeying stuff were, you know, pretty cocky guys and cool. They did a lot of neat things in testing, you know, hypersonic aircraft. But I think, practically speaking, space-type stuff will be from naval astronauts. Just my opinion, and definitely it's trying to be, you know, neutral on the subject. But Starfleet Academy Captain Kirk would be tickled to death to see this, I'm sure.
Interesting.
Okay, back on, where are we here? We did that. There was something else I wanted to, yeah. Look at slide 53. Let's hope this one works. Yes. I got sent this link to go look at a strange kind of signal or sign in the dirt. And I think we might have to click on the picture itself. Yes. If you zoom this picture up, you'll see a little, let's see, where is it here? There's a little flag, a little pointer somewhere in that. Is it there? No. Okay. About in the middle of the picture where it says Bear Island, click on that and look at the top right-hand corner of that Bear Island. You're on that right there. Yeah, that. Okay. See those strange symbols, star, circle, something like a house with three legs and an epsilon. And then if you...
It would be... Down...
Get on to Bear Island. And, right there. See, right there in the center, it's a little dark letters that are in the marsh. That's all marshlands there, you know, reeds and water and stuff like that. And if you then move your picture, Eric, down just a bit, just to the, there, whoa, you see some more of that kind of stuff. And, then if you go to the very bottom of the big picture with all the wavy lines, look at that. Now, is this alien signaling? No. It is the Parks Department or the Game and Wildlife Department running experiments in those marshes. You know, that's not dry land, it's marsh, to attract the ducks to come there and breed to rebuild their numbers because they're an endangered species. So they tried different patterns of darkness, you know, dark greens or whatever, in the marshlands to attract the birds to come and nest there. Now, isn't that cool?
Okay. Well, how does that work? And I mean, I understand what you said. I'm just not sure I understand how it works.
Well, the birds look at terrain features to see where to land. Now, so they tried experiments to see if they would respond to like river shapes, like the wavy lines, or if they would respond to just a particular, you know, star shape or something that might look like a flock of birds, that dark triangle up above Bear Island. And I don't know what their criteria was, you know, for real, but you can read about it in the text of the article by clicking on the text below it. It's called the Gray's Lake Experiment, provides key bird habitat. And at first glance, I mean, somebody said this to me, and I looked at it, I thought, what the heck made this? You know, that's strange, but in truth, it's just a human experiment to try to help the ducks, you know, to migrate there and to reproduce.
Wow.
Make nesting areas. I never thought about it, but they just make that for, you know, like visual diversity in what the birds see as they fly over, and certain things they found attractive more than others. They've got even some cranes have landed there because it triggered them to, let's land and see what's there. At first glance, I thought, wow, what is somebody sending me this stuff? Or is it like, you know, alien symbols or that kind of stuff? But no, it was a very easily explained thing, but quite a cool thing at the same time.
Very interesting. I guess I just never thought about that. I just never gave that a thought.
Like that program on, or go on.
I have a question. Okay. So, maybe this is relevant or maybe not. You look at the visualizations here, the visuals that this provides. My neighbor, she's got a birdhouse. She's got two birdhouses. So 2 years ago or last year, I went out and 2 years ago, I bought one and then last year I bought another one. So I've got two birdhouses. The birds like her birdhouses better. They're different shapes, they're different colors, they're different sizes. Now, my question is, why?
What type of birds go to hers?
That's a good question. Small ones? songbirds. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a bird guy. I just figured it'd be kind of neat to have like a, you know, birds.
Birds look at a number of things. We have nesting finches here, which go to our flower pots that are hanging. One of them actually built a nest in the back of our TV antenna for DirecTV. It's pointed up in the sky, you know, the satellite antenna. And underneath that dish is a little cavity in the metal.
Yep.
And she built a nest and raised four little finches there. And that's, you wouldn't think that that would be an attractive thing for a bird. It's not anything colorful. It is small and it's protected from predators and not visible by a lot of people to harm her babies, which it did prove to be a good choice. With our hanging baskets, those are problematic for the finches. We have to watch the blackbirds that come in and try to dive in and get into them and watch the battles between them. And the finches actually get together and chase the blackbirds away. It's efficiency in numbers. One will get to the back of the blackbird, another will get up around the eyes, and they'll run them off. Of course, we do our share of running them off, too. Just I take my air pellet gun out there and shoot it through the trees, and that makes a really loud noise, and off they go. So hummingbirds, well, they like to have colorful things like flowers. And we've had, that's why they're attracted to our red and yellow plastic hummingbird feeder, is because of the colors. It reminds them of flowers. Bees do the same thing. We've already got bees coming here for our water in our front yard pond. And I'm sure it's bees from the same hive that always comes here every year. Now, when bees find nectar or they find water, they go back to the hive. These are worker bees. And they actually stand in the floor once they get into the hive on the bottom floor, and they do this dance and vibrate around this way, that way, that way, this way, up and down. And they are telling the other bees, follow all my motions because this is how you get to where the water is. And it's a map that they give them by dancing and vibrating on the floor of the hive. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, actually, wow. I never really thought of that, but it makes sense. Almost like, you know, your Igor or your doorman saying, walk this way. Anyway.
Exactly. hey, speaking of strange things, on slide 52, I found this meme. It says, be like Darth Vader. He wears a mask, doesn't visit his son and daughter, socially and emotionally distant, and follows orders. And if you click on the text below on the right where it says Darth Vader MP3, it will give you the Darth Vader sound.
Okay.
Wait a There's second. Your lightness for the day. Go back, Eric, and click on the text on the right part where it says Darth Vader MP3. I don't know whether that'll come through to you on your mic, but... click on that.
Goodness.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a bit of fun. You got to have a little fun every now and then.
That's right. That's what I say. You know, it's we live in some pretty interesting times, and there's some dark times to this. So, yeah, anytime you can catch a laugh, why not? Wow.
Yeah. I'm sure you probably caught this on the Fox channel, but there's a Boy Scout that has been using his 3D printer to make little ear cushions for the medical staff where they put all these masks on. Of course, the elastic is pressing on the back of their ear and rubbing them raw. So he's made this cushion that will fit on these masks and protect their ears, you know, thousands of them. I think that's such a cool idea, and it's another use for 3D printing.
Do you have a 3D printer? Do you have one?
No, okay.
I don't either. I don't think I've ever seen one. Well, I did see one, but I
need to get one for some of the research I'm doing in aerodynamics. Let me see if I've got it here. This is one of the things I've been working on here, was a new kind of flying saucer, and I needed to test a different model of it. But I had that one made in Europe. At a 3D modeling place with a kind of material that's not readily available for me here. But yeah, I know the technique. In fact, look at slide 43 and see what University of Queensland is doing. This is got to be cool for the ladies that like chocolate. They're using 3D printers to make odd shapes of chocolate, little chocolate baskets and whatever. And this tells you that, you know, our food industry is moving this way. It doesn't take an experienced chef, or you know, bakery chef or whatever, to make these kind of shapes for desserts to put on your plate in the restaurant or at home. You just use a chocolate ink is what it amounts to, a chocolate material that is deposited in a pattern dot by dot. And here you have these baskets formed, but a lot of other things can be formed as well. And it just shows you that we're moving closer and closer by leaps and bounds to Star Trek's food replicator.
Wow. Okay. Well, all I can tell you is my great aunt used to work in a chocolate candy store, if you will. And she made, you know, chocolate covered nuts and stuff. She did all of that by hand. Kind of reminds me of that, Lucy show where they were working in a chocolate. But nonetheless, so you go from that to a 3D printer type of environment. Wow. So this is chocolate. I mean, how would I put that? The ink is chocolate, right? Is that?
Yeah, it is. It's a little nozzle. It puts out a drop per, you know, millisecond or whatever as it's moving around. It follows a pattern, and it's layer by layer from the bottom up. It builds this pattern of melted chocolate, which cools as soon as it hits the plate because it's a cool plate. And when they get to the top, they're finished. I mean, you can even make hollow chocolate things by, you know, like I forget what the name of it is. It's a candy. It's a round ball of chocolate with maybe coconut on it, and inside is a sauce or something, and maybe a nut. You could probably build something like that. I don't know about the nut yet, but the closed spheres with things inside could be made this way because you build it, you know, layer by layer. Fascinating, you know, subject. And I did talk to you a few shows back about, you know, pressing a button and getting your hamburger out of a 3D machine, complete with cheese, lettuce, and
oh, yeah. You should have seen the response, the comments about that. Stan, what are you doing?
Really?
You know, yeah. People saying, oh, I wouldn't eat that. My goodness. You know, and I got to tell you, brother, you know, Five Guys for me, 3D, no. In-N-Out for me, no. You know, anyway, I don't know. It's, wow. Wow.
Well, I don't know. How soon it'll be something that we like. It will replace people, you know, flipping burgers. And you can see in a controlled society like the globalists want that we could have a lot of people sit at home drawing a paycheck just for being citizens of the world and taking the mark or whatever, because they can press a button and their food is made for them there from these tubes of supplies, you know, artificial proteins and stuff like that. I mean, look at slide 44, the next one over, and you can see the exotic shapes that food can take. Mind you, this muffin that, or whatever it is this person is about to chew into here, if you can get onto that, you can see it. I don't know that I would like that either. It looks like worms with heads on it crawling out of my muffin type thing.
But yeah.
All kinds of food can be generated from this. And I think the idea is cool. I don't know whether it will approach the value, you know, food value of real food, you know, with minerals and various other things that we get from the soil. But this is where we're headed. And I marvel at this Captain Kirk age we live in. This is just incredible.
Soylent Green. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh yes. That was a frightening movie.
Hey, yes. It's people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. These wafers are people reprocessed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're talking about, you know, fertilizing gardens with, human remains. It's just, I don't know. Wow. This ain't Mayberry no more.
No, it's not. And I don't mind technology as long as it's applied properly. And, the good Lord, look, we couldn't do any of this, humans, without the good Lord having given us the knowledge of these things, you know, the tree of knowledge type thing. And that was a sinful act that was done in the Garden of Eden. But we see what can be had in technology under the proper supervision. You know, if we have Jesus back here as our king, then these things can be used and can be made in a manner that, you know, gives you health and helps us construct bridges and cars and things like that. I don't know how it's going to work in the kingdom of the Lord, because, you know, if you can push a button or give a mental command and suddenly something is made, what do you do, you know, for work? I mean, you know, what's the objective of life then? Have you ever thought about that?
Wow. Yeah. Without resolution, yes. Yes.
Me too. I've wondered if we're going to explore other worlds, but the 1,000-year millennial reign here, it says, you know, the bride will be with the Messiah here in a different kind of body, but will still be kind of maybe supervising humans in that last 1,000 years. But after that happens, and the earth and the universe and worlds, we know it all disappears in this flaming, you know, destruction of the whole universe, a new earth and a new heavens replaces it. What happens then? Do we explore? Do we create? And I've often thought about us becoming creators ourselves, you know, little c creators. When I look at some of the life forms that have been made and that we find in the bottom of the sea or in the plains of the savannah in Africa, I mean, like the wildebeest or the warthog, I mean, these aren't really beautiful items, but they look like they've stuck one part of one animal with another one experimenting. But it looks as though it's intelligent design, but some of them were young at the technique anyway.
Yeah, a lot of questions. I've got a lot of questions. I'd like, I'm sure obviously we'll have the answers to that, but something to think about. It really is.
It is. And that's, you know, it keeps me going at night to think about these things. So How do you like my castle here?
You know, I was afraid to ask about that. Have you moved? Did you and Holly move?
It's been relegated to the basement. Here's the basement look here. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. How you do that?
I was having fun. This 3D program that they put into, that you can use in Skype now with something called, what is it? That one. Ecamm Live. And it lets you put your pictures up there for whatever background you want and things like that. And,
wow.
I find it's pretty neat. You can just be while you're talking and shuffle over to, say, to Arizona here like we were a while ago, or let's see here. We can
I think you were in your library before, or a hall of books or a hall of records somewhere.
I was. It was here somewhere. Here we go. Studious look. Library.
There you go. Yeah.
And all that's happening really is there's a green screen about 2 feet behind me, and all this gets superimposed on it, which is good fun.
Okay, there you go. Well, I'll tell you what, if I
now, now I can point to that book and that book and over here, sure, this book has such and such in it. And
if I turned around, I have no green screen. It's all real. It's all for real. Anyway, wow, that's so, yeah, it's fun. You know what? It's kind of fun to kind of experiment with that.
Well, since we're all here at home and not going out and doing much except some gardening and things like that, it's a time to learn and have fun. And this is the way I have fun, is with graphics.
I love it. Speaking of kind of being home and such, Stan, how long can we keep this up? How long can we sustain this current? And maybe you don't have an answer. Maybe they're... I don't know. I'm looking at this and I'm just thinking, we're losing so much. I mean, how long can we sustain this without forever lasting damage to what we've had?
We're going to have some permanent damage, I'm sure, in some industries. That's why he's got a special team now then for restart, you know, the restart of the American economy. It's going to have to be done in a clever manner, because just suddenly saying, okay, everybody start doing business again, is not going to work too well. They're going to be conflicting issues. So you have to have a team to hopefully figure out the right order to restart the economy. It's not a job I'd like to be doing myself.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, my brother, you've taken us through the hour. I want to say thank you so very much for your gracious gift of time again today. And folks, support Stan and Holly on Patreon. Go to standale.com and click the links through there. It's a very worthwhile cause, as well as Dare to Prepare. And get it before it runs out. And, of course, EMP Shield. That's a necessity, I believe. I want to thank you so much for all you do, you and Holly. You guys are gracious and great people.
You guys too.
All right.
Bye-bye now. All right. Lord bless you.
Folks, that'll do it for me tonight. Thank you so much for joining me. God bless. Have a good night. Be safe.